Well, good evening, everyone. There's no place I'd rather be tonight. I'd like to talk tonight about the vital importance of true integrity. True integrity is what you are when you don't think anybody's watching you. You don't think anybody's going to know. True integrity is what's going to make you do what's right anyway. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 19, after Achan had taken the gold and silver and the Babylonish garment, it says, "And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran under the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him, took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. For the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place is called the Valley of Achor unto this day. So was it worth it? What did that wedge of gold and that silver, that Babylonish garment do for Achan? Got him and all his loved ones and his family killed.
Right.
So why did he do it if he had known he was going to get him killed? He thought he was going to get by with it.
Right.
So it all comes down to a matter of belief. True integrity is all dependent on whether or not you truly believe God and take Him at His Word. In Revelation 21:7, it says, He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Notice the list it puts unbelieving in. It's murderers, abominable, liars. Unbelieving is a big deal. Job chapter 2, verse 3 says, And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him, destroy him without cause. Job believed.
Yes.
Here he was going through the biggest trial he'd ever been through, bigger than any trial I believe I'll ever be through. And yet he believed. And so he held fast his integrity. We have such a lack of this integrity in our society. Our society has very little moral fiber, moral character anymore. And it's sad to see it going that way. But then we see in Job 2:9, it says, Then his wife said unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. I wonder what we'd have done if we were in her position. She lost all her children, all her possessions. Here was her husband, this man of God, who trusted in the Lord all his life, had been doing things God's way and trusting Him with the rest all his life. And it didn't seem to be working. That's when true belief comes in. True belief says that I'll do what's right, even when it doesn't feel good. Even when it looks like I'm going to be suffering and dying because I'm doing this right. True belief and faith in God is what integrity is all about.
Right.
Job wasn't that kind of person. He did right because he knew it was right, not because it felt good. In 1 Samuel 24, says, and it came to pass when Saul's returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel, and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcote by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, and stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, my lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord hath delivered thee today in mine hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee. Mine eyes spared thee, and said, I will not put forth mine hands against the Lord's anointed, for he is the anointed of the Lord. Moreover, my father, see, yea, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe, and killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. As the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. And it came to pass, when David made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, and Saul said, is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how thou hast dealt well with me, for as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good, for that thou hast done unto me this day. Now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord, that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and thou shalt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David swore unto Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men got them up unto the hold. You see, in verse 5 it says, and it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. David had some true integrity here. This man had done him very wrong. He was a wicked man. He was abusing his authority, and he still recognized him as God's ordained authority over him. Even though Saul was abusing his authority, David knew that didn't justify him acting out of his place. And because David had fear of God, and he believed God, and took him at his word, he was able to respond properly in this situation. He knew that he would reap what he sowed, and so that's why he lived by that principle. And yet Saul wasn't that way. We see him here apologizing and feeling real bad, it looks like. And yet, David goes to the hold. He knows Saul can't be trusted. In chapter 26, the verse 12 verses, I believe it is. And the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul rose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon, by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies, and understood that Saul was come in very deed. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched, and David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the captain of the host. And Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night. Behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once. I will not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishai, Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said furthermore, As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hands against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster, and the cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they gat them away, and no man saw it, nor knew it, neither waked, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord has fallen upon them. You see, in verse 9, it says, And David said to Abishai, Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? You see, he realized he wasn't just dealing with a crooked, wicked king who had done him wrong.
Right.
He realized he was dealing with God and God's anointed, and that in disregarding God's anointed, he was dishonoring God himself.
Right.
And so, like my father was saying a few minutes ago, you're going to be hearing a lot of exhortation this night. And it doesn't matter who it comes from and what their faults are. If you disregard what they say from the Word of God because of who they are, what they've done in the past, then you're no different than Saul here.
That's right.
If David would have killed Saul and disregarded the fact that he was the Lord's anointed. In Psalm 41:12 says, And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity and setteth me before thy face forever. Psalm 26:1. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. In Psalm 7:8, Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. You know, as I thought about those verses, it was a challenge to me. Can I really say in my prayers, Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me? Can you say that in your prayers? That's big stuff there.
Yeah.
That's important and not something to be taken lightly. Psalm 139:23-24 says, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. There's a couple of verses from Proverbs. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. And in Galatians 6:7 says, Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I'd like to leave us all with a challenge, myself included, of course, to have this kind of integrity. So you could say in your prayers with, I believe it was David here in this psalm, Judge me, O Lord, according to my integrity, and according to according to my righteousness, and according to my integrity that's in me. And maybe be able to say with Paul someday, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness with the Lord. The righteous judge shall give me it that day. I'd like to leave us all with a challenge to keep our heart pure, to not be living a double life, and to have the integrity that will keep you when you don't think anybody else is watching. Well, thank you for your time.
Amen.